Hey, Rafer.
Yes, Kristen?
I have a little trivia question for you.
My least favorite game. if there are any takeaway listeners out there who know me from Fridays, this is the game I typically fail.
No. You've gotten it right at least once. I've heard you do it before. Okay, so
at least once.
You have. All right. My trivia question is, what do Van Morrison's song Brown Eyed Girl and this weekend's big film Prince of Persia have in common?
What do they have in common?
Mm-hmm. You know the song Brown Eyed Girl?
Yes, I do. One of my least favorite songs, by the way. That requires too many leaps of mental agility for me. What is it?
Well, both of them, at one point or another, featured a brown-skinned girl, actually. The original title of Brown Eyed Girl was Brown-Skinned Girl.
Oh-ho. I can see why that was changed.
Yes. And Prince of Persia played with all white actors.
Yes, yes, yes.
One might say that Persians actually have a darker complexion than Jake Gyllenhaal and Gemma Arterton.
Arterton, I think.
Yeah.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
Sure.
So that's my little trivia question for you today.
That's very, very pointed. Very pointed trivia question.
Well, my name's Kristen Meinzer, and I'm a producer for The Takeaway.
And I'm Rafer Guzman, movie critic for Newsday, and this is Movie Date. A heart that felt better than you.
So today, the reason I ask this question is because I find it a little bit perplexing when Hollywood chooses to cast people in roles that it seems that the ethnicity or race seems somehow a little bit off to me. Did you notice that in Prince of Persia?
You know, I can't say I did. I actually thought the movie was pretty good overall. It was kind of a fun, old-fashioned Hollywood chase movie. Lots of great parkour action, if you know parkour, that sort of French, basically kind of a French acrobatic skill, lots of jumping on the sides of buildings and off of railings and that kind of stuff. A lot of great stuff like that. It reminded me of the old Douglas Fairbanks movies.
Good compliment.
And I thought Jake Gyllenhaal was really good. I liked him a lot in it. I guess I'm one of these guys who that stuff never really, the idea of, you know, whether or not a Persian should be playing a Persian or a Greek should be playing a Greek or something like that. That stuff never really rings with me. Maybe it makes me typical white guy, you know, even though I am half Mexican. Maybe that just makes me, you know, typical dude who is not sensitive to that stuff, but it doesn't really matter that much to me.
It doesn't matter to you, even though, I mean, we live in a pretty diverse country these days.
Yeah.
And considering that audiences are quite possibly about 50% not white these days.
Yeah, sure.
Wouldn't it make sense for there to be more people who aren't white on screen?
I know what you're saying. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, Hollywood has a long history of doing this kind of stuff, right? I mean, they very rarely will cast a minority, quote unquote, actor in some kind of a lead role, even when that role is some sort of minority, right? you know, you and I were talking earlier about sort of examples in the past of this thing. There's a lot of famous examples. One of my favorites is Touch of Evil, the Orson Welles film, which is one of my favorite films of all time. Partly one of the reasons I love it so much is because Charlton Heston plays a Mexican.
You folks are American citizens?
I am, yes.
Where were you born, miss?
Mrs.
What?
Philadelphia.
The name is Vargas.
Hey, Jim, you see who's here?
Sure, Mr. Vargas.
Oh, that's right. I totally forgot about that.
He's got the full-on Mexican mustache, and he's just got sort of, you know, light-colored brown shoe polish slathered all over his face, and it's clearly shoe polish. That's not a tanning machine. It's just shoe polish on his face.
Is it as good though as Mickey Rooney in Breakfast at Tiffany's?
Oh, there's a famous one. Yeah.
What is he supposed to be, a Japanese landlord in that movie?
Yeah, isn't he got a kimono? Doesn't he have a kimono on most of the time?
Yeah.
Yes. That.
And he's got the painted-on eye makeup.
Yeah, the cat eye makeup. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a bad one.
Mr. Ivory, I protest.
That's a really bad one. And the Charlton Heston one is not quite that bad. Charlton Heston, maybe to his credit, really makes no attempt whatsoever to play Mexican. Aside from that shoe polish, he just plays it like Charlton Heston.
Big boss. Only one of them. The Grandys are a big family. Good night.
So he doesn't have
a new accent.
There's no fake-o Mexican, you know, El Chipo accent. It's just Charlton Heston doing his standard bit. But, you know, another example that I remember, which I first saw in college, was Laurence Olivier's Othello, which is from like maybe 1967, 1966.
Hold on, Laurence Olivier is playing Othello?
He plays the Moor. He plays the Moor. And I will tell you, again, not just shoe polish, but blackface. And he plays Othello like Fred Sanford. He walks around with a big old grin, big pearly whites, eyes bugging out. Mm. He's got some crazy accent that's kind of half Shakespearean, half Al Jolson.
That I have ta'en away this old man's daughter. It is most true. True, I have married her. The very head and front of my offending hath this extent no more.
He does everything in that movie but put his hair up in pigtails and eat watermelon. It's like it could not get any worse. It's difficult to watch.
It's upsetting.
It's really difficult to watch. You know, and the only thing you can say looking back is you just think, well, times were different then. It's the only excuse you can make, you know.
You want to be able to say that, but sometimes you look at things that are as recent as, you know, within the last few years, and it's like, you should know better. You should know better than... Let's go back to the Middle East for a second.
Sure.
The Aladdin Disney cartoon, which got a lot of criticism for that.
Yes.
Like, that's more recently. This isn't in 1930 when that movie was made. This was, wasn't that in the 1990s?
Yeah, I think that was.
Yeah.
Yes.
And in that movie, all of the people were actually darker complected if they were bad guys.
Yeah, later. Uh-huh.
And then they did a lot of things that were very stereotypically Middle Eastern.
Yes.
Justice of chopping off hands and tongues and things this that seemed very much built completely on stereotypes.
Actually. There's a line, one of the musical numbers has a line about sort of, you know, some sort of line about all the different capital punishments and things.
Yes.
And the character says something like, you know, hey, it's barbaric, but it's home.
Where they cut off your ear if they don't like your face, it's barbaric, but hey, it's home.
And, you know, this was before we were all confronted with the Middle East. I think up until 2001, I don't think any of us had any idea what the Middle East even was, really. We knew Asians, we knew blacks, we knew Hispanics, we knew Russians, we knew all those kinds of things, but we didn't even know the Middle East.
I would say that we still don't know the Middle East that well, though.
I would agree, but I guess I'm just saying that the idea of cultural sensitivity to the Middle East is somewhat new, I think, for America. But I know what you're saying about this idea of race in Hollywood. I guess my question is, race in some ways seems to almost be the smaller issue, and the larger issue seems to be what we're looking for out of the movies. Why are we always looking for some kind of authenticity out of Hollywood? It's almost like asking for authenticity out of Disneyland. I kind of feel like, but this, it's the movies, it's entertainment. Actors are actors. They're not beers. They act the parts. Do you know what I'm saying?
I see exactly what you're saying. And I also see the studio's point of view where you're thinking, I'm putting $100 million into making this movie.
Right.
I want a bankable star who's going to attract people.
Right.
But you know what? A lot of movies don't have a big bankable white person and still make tons of money. Think about all of the Will Smith movies. He's not white.
Sure, sure.
And those movies make tons of money. Think about the Spy Kids movies. They make tons of money, and those are all Latino characters.
Yes, right.
There's plenty of proof out there that you don't need an all-white cast or white leads to make a movie work.
I would agree with you, except that I think that you talk about that idea of what races in America have achieved, quote-unquote, parity with with whites. It's always Asians are first, and then I think it's maybe Hispanics, South Asians, Indians. Mm-hmm. So there's this kind of pecking order, so to speak, right? In Hollywood, it seems to me that the race that has achieved the most parity, and I want to put air quotes around that word, but would be blacks. Blacks have done far better for themselves in terms of carrying a mainstream Hollywood film than really any other race I can think of, including Mexicans who outnumber them, including probably Asians.
Absolutely. There's almost no Asian Americans in the films.
Almost none.
There's almost none, and I feel like we could go on and on naming our favorite black actors.
But it's interesting, too, that Laurence Olivier aside, you would never dream of casting a white actor as a black actor today, right?
Not today, but I think it was really common back then.
Sure.
One of my favorite movies, I think it was in the 1940s, it was called Pinky. Did you ever see Pinky? It's about a girl who's, quote, passing. She's played by a white character or white actress named Jean Crane. And in that movie, she is from the rural South. Her grandmother is black. I don't think we ever meet her parents, but she's raised by her grandmother. Okay. She's part black herself, but leaves her small town, goes to the city, falls in love with a white doctor, and is living as a white woman, but then goes back to her family to help take care of a white woman in the area who then she just ends up staying back in the town. She gives up love. She gives up her white privilege, her white doctor.
Interesting.
And says, I'd rather live authentically with the black people I am. I want to live authentically as a black person. Me, a white actress.
Yeah, you're right. Right. Hmm. I see. Yes. Problematic.
Problematic. I think the movie's fantastic. I just think that Hollywood has a really complicated relationship with race.
And we saw that. The storyline. I've never heard of that movie. It's really interesting. But we saw that exact storyline with The Human Stain, right? With Anthony Hopkins, a British guy playing a closeted black guy, right?
Yeah.
I know. I guess it's just that for me, I don't generally mind it. It just doesn't it doesn't bug me, or I guess it only bugs me when it's just really egregious, when it's some kind of ridiculous example, again, like, you know, Olivia playing Othello. That's the only kind of stuff where it really kind of bothers me. But I mean, you take someone like Alfred Molina, you know, who's of Spanish descent. Mm-hmm. I think he's British, but he's of Hispanic descent. That guy has played every minority under the sun. He's in Prince of Persia as an Arab. He's played Diego Rivera, Frida Kahlo's husband. He's played, well, speaking of minorities, you know, his breakout role was as a gay man. He was Joe Orton's lover in Prick Up Your Ears. But he's played all kinds of different, you know, minorities. Or Anthony Quinn, you know, Mexican-American actor who's most famous for playing Zorba the Greek. But it doesn't, for some reason, it doesn't bother me, I guess, because I know that Hollywood is just trying to entertain me and they're trying to sort of fake me out in some way.
I just wish they'd take more chances. I think that they're so scared of having minorities on screen. The Last Airbender, which is coming out later this summer,
yes,
based on the Nickelodeon martial arts kids who are all Inuit and Asian storyline. They made the movie with half white people, including most of the leads. And why did you do that? You didn't have to do that.
Right. Well, did they or did I don't know. I don't know. Did they have to do that? I mean, you know, they, like you were saying earlier, they want to make that money.
I know they want to make that money. Couldn't it be just maybe a quarter of the characters they made white? Like not half of them? You don't have to do that. Come
on. Well, weren't you saying the background characters are Asian? So there you go. There's your bone that they've thrown you.
I don't know. And there are a lot of people who are part Asian they could put in the movies.
Well, here's what I think will be fun to look forward to in terms of upcoming movies. Machete, the Robert Rodriguez movie with almost an entirely Latino cast, including some Latinos you wouldn't think of, like Jessica Alba.
Excellent.
So that's an interesting choice. Cheech Marin, of course, is the gun-toting priest.
I took a vow of peace, and now you want me to help you kill all these men?
Yes, bro. I mean, Padre.
See what I can do.
That's going to be a really interesting movie because it's sort of a mexploitation film.
Ooh.
with basically a guy who's a day laborer who gets pulled into an assassination plot. So that, I think, could be a bit of a boundary breaker. So we'll see.
Excellent. Well, I'm looking forward to it.
Me too.
Thank you for the great movie date, Rafer.
All right, Kristen, as always.